A partial gear-up landing at Newark turns out okay. Engine trouble is suspected in the crash of a Mooney, and the Boeing-Airbus subsidy spat may be getting serious. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 29th, 2012. There were some tense moments aboard United Express Flight 5124 Monday evening as it approached Newark Liberty Airport on a flight from Atlanta. The pilot reported a problem with the landing gear, an apparent hydraulic failure, and controllers were able to visually confirm the nose gear was not extended. After a go-around and delay to allow time to have the runways foamed and responders standing by, the crew made a successful emergency landing about 6:20 p.m. The New York Post reports the plane was immediately sprayed down with foam, and 67 passengers and 4 crew members were evacuated using emergency slides. No injuries were reported, and passengers were bused to the terminal. The Associated Press reports the airport was closed for about an hour. The FAA reports the Embraer 170 slid about 200 feet on its nose before coming to a stop. A single-engine Mooney M20 crashed Sunday about 2 minutes after takeoff from Stinson Municipal Airport, 6 miles south of San Antonio, Texas. Witnesses reported hearing the engine sputter, and MySanAntonio.com reports a transmission from the pilot to the tower was cut short by the impact with the ground. The NTSB has assigned Tom Latson as lead investigator. He relates that after the cutoff transmission, quote, the controller looked up and saw him crashing and saw the smoke, unquote. There were reportedly 2 men on board, 1 a CFI, although early reports did not indicate which of the men had been flying the plane. The crash site is described as a brushy parcel of property owned by the San Antonio Water System. Fire Chief Charles Hood said firefighters could see the smoke before they arrived at the scene. A police report suggests the men were taking the plane to have a new radio installed in Fredericksburg. In a letter to acting FAA Administrator Michael Huerta, the NTSB has recommended that the agency require repetitive inspection of engine components incorporated cylinder assemblies produced between May 2003 and October 2009 and installed on Teledyne Continental Motors Model 520 and 550 engines, and removal of these cylinder assemblies once they reach the engine manufacturer's recommended TBO. In its letter, the board notes that since 2000, it, quote, has examined numerous cylinder assemblies that failed due to fatigue cracking that initiated in the root of the cylinder head thread, eventually resulting in loss of compression and or separation of the cylinder head into two pieces. Many resulted in fatal accidents, unquote. There are already several ADs for this problem on other cylinders, but these cylinders aren't covered, and the NTSB wants them added. The FAA has not yet commented. The governments of the U.S. and the European Union, in something of a surrogate war on behalf of Boeing and Airbus respectively, have both won findings in the World Trade Organization's court that some forms of government subsidy violate trade treaties. Now, a suggestion by Europe to negotiate an end to the battle has been called laughable by Boeing. AFP News reports that on Monday, Boeing spokesman Charlie Miller told journalists the suggestion from Airbus that the differences could be settled through negotiation is, quote, risible, unquote. He added the motive for the overture, quote, is only too obvious when clearly they have lost, unquote. An Airbus spokeswoman responded by noting that the U.S., quote, offered to negotiate after unilaterally abandoning a 1992 agreement and demanding the EU abandon its reimbursable advance financing, unquote. Europe claims that defense development contracts and even local and state tax incentives to encourage the siting of new plants are illegal subsidies. The WTO agreed in March of last year with some of those charges to the tune of $5.3 billion. On the other side, the U.S. attacked subsidies to Airbus, including government payments which were called loans, but for which repayment was waived, making them de facto grants. The illegal subsidies to Airbus, as determined by the WTO, totaled $18 billion. The findings allow governments on both sides to levy tariffs or other sanctions to compensate for the imbalance. AFP reports a U.S. source close to the situation says Washington is likely to seek WTO approval for sanctions against the EU within the next few weeks. Still ahead, the Pentagon is trying to drive down F-35 fleet costs. Americans are fine with drones, just not near them. And China faces big hurdles in playing GA catch-up. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 29th. I'm Paul Platt. Operation of a fleet of 2,443 Joint Strike Fighters will cost U.S. taxpayers nearly $1 trillion over 50 years. So says Lieutenant General Terry Roebling, Deputy Commandant of the Marine Corps for Aviation. The Pentagon is reportedly looking into ways to drive those costs down. In an interview with Reuters, Roebling said that while it's understood that the cost of the F-35 program is high, everybody was on board to continue with initial low-rate production of the aircraft. He had just attended a ceremony involving three of the VTOL variants of the airplane at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. Roebling says that unless those costs can be constrained, the Pentagon will be faced with difficult choices, including buying fewer of the jets or reducing anticipated flight hours. All of those decisions, he said, are 5 to 10 years in the future. He adds that both Lockheed Martin and the Pentagon have come a long way in program management over the past 2 years, finding significant savings. The FAA Reauthorization Act, recently passed by Congress, mandates the FAA to develop standards and testing for the integration of unmanned aircraft into the national airspace system. The prospect of civilian law enforcement using spy drones is producing an interesting paradox in public opinion. A Rasmussen poll has found that a majority of Americans are just fine with the idea of predators being used for spying or even armed attacks in other countries. But surveillance of their own backyards is a no-no. Writing in the Daily Caller, former Republican Congressman Bob Barr of Georgia notes the survey found 76% of Americans are supportive of using drones to kill terrorists, while just over half, 52%, are opposed to their use by law enforcement agencies inside the U.S. This new class of NIMBYs will be at odds with the many manufacturers and politicians eager to turn loose this new sales category. As ANN has reported, EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, has petitioned the FAA to consider new rules protecting the privacy and safety of citizens subject to surveillance using unmanned aircraft. Barr opines that if the FAA takes the matter seriously, the move would, quote, indicate that the Obama administration, which for 3.5 years has largely continued the policies of its predecessor in refusing to recognize the fundamental right to privacy guaranteed in the Bill of Rights, does in fact harbor some concern about the use of technology to spy on American citizens, unquote. The government of China is recognizing the need for additional general aviation capacity in a big way. In fact, there are not enough airports, aircraft, and airspace in China to train the needed number of pilots. So Minnesota State University was ready to take on Chinese helicopter students. Ironically, the training has now been delayed for lack of enough Chinese airport capacity to allow those students to practice when they get back home. KEYC-TV reports the decision will also stall investment by the school in new helicopters and other needs estimated to cost $100,000 per student. Gene Haar, MSU's interim dean, tells the station, quote, "We have intentionally been thinking about how can our program improve and continue to improve with its quality and excellence. So specifically, the conversation we're having with China, when they're ready, we're ready," unquote. And finally today, some air traffic controllers at Westchester County Airport in New York State had been videotaped sleeping on duty. They were also secretly recorded reading, texting, and working on laptops during their shifts. The video was captured by an unnamed employee at the White Plains Airport and given to TV station WNYW. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a New York Democrat, and Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino have called for an investigation. The station reports the FAA says off-duty controllers are allowed to use a portion of the tower as a break room because of a broken-down elevator. In a separate letter, Astorino said that explanation was not satisfactory. I'm not sure how this will turn out, but I have a feeling somebody will be sitting by themselves at the next office picnic. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.